Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will focus on odd combinations of musicians, genres, and formats. That will lead us to hear a jumpy selection by a group from the small suburban town of Shively, Kentucky, that over the years has seen their music appreciated by musical legends such as Paul McCartney, Bob Dylan, and Bonnie Raitt. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will present a catchy instrumental single by a rhythm and blues band leader that put out 81 singles, 45 albums, and unbelievably 33 EPs. Later, we examine one of the catchiest songs ever written. While it did hit number 1 on one of the 3 major American charts when it was released, it only made it up to number 2 in Billboard and number 3 in England. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track at number 1, we appreciate what happened when a progressive group called Cinema decided to add a vocalist to one of their newer compositions and discovered that, by doing so, they had accidentally reunited a different group. But first, just as we do each week, we keep holding on with a selection that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a 1 week peak, and then it wasn't long before they were gone. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we get something going on with the only American solo chart single by a vocalist that is 1/4 of the 3rd best-selling act of all time in Great Britain, hitting number 1 there with 8 consecutive albums. Worldwide, this solo act's former group is estimated to have sold 380 million records, a figure that is impossible to certify based upon the large numbers of units sold prior to any certification process. When it was first released, this record carried with it a little bit of a shock factor, as it featured a combination of a pure pop vocal with heavy drums from the record's producer, a member of album rock royalty, Genesis.
You know you've changed and your words belie. That's something you can't deny.
spending a week at number 40 in Cashbox on its way up to number 1 in Belgium and Switzerland, and a peak of number 13 in Billboard and 9 in Radio and Records. That was Annefrid Lyngstad, who simply went by Frida for her solo releases, and I Know There's Something Going On, a single that was written by Russ Ballard and produced by Phil Collins, who also played drums.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
At number 20, we have a group that formed in Shively, Kentucky in 1965. They made tapes of their rehearsals, one of which included member Don Adams acting in a joking manner like an MC announcing a performance. Don jokingly stated, "Here they are, the New Rhythm and Blues Quintet." Because of that tape, the name basically stuck. I say basically because it was actually the initials NRBQ that stuck, and in reality only stuck after the quintet lost a member and became a quartet. So now, here they are, the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, and a selection produced by Eddie Kramer that combines a jam band approach with a pop melody. You might recall Eddie Kramer as the talented engineer that produced the track by Robin Trower that we heard last week.
I'm like a man. You're like a piece of wood. Can't get together. Don't make me feel so good. I'm like a convict. You're like
an album track that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was NRBQ, that long-lasting New Rhythm and Blues Quartet that still tours to this day and whose fans include respected musicians such as Paul McCartney, Bob Dylan, Bonnie Raitt, and John Sebastian.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Well, we just heard a selection by a group that is known by its initials, the four letters NRBQ. Now, at number 11, we have a mainstream rock track from another group that was known by three letters, GTR. In this case, GTR does not represent initials the way that NRBQ does. GTR is the universal abbreviation used for guitar by sound engineer engineers during recording sessions. In this instance, there was certainly an emphasis on the guitars, since the group was founded by Yes and Asia guitarist Steve Howe, along with his friend, former Genesis guitarist Steve Hackett. While certainly not designed as a top 40 singles act, the group's first single, When the Heart Rules the Mind, hit number 3 on the mainstream Rock Tracks chart. From their one and only album, which peaked at number 11, that was GTR, and When the Heart Rules the Mind, their initial hit single produced by famed keyboardist Jeff Downs.
Number 10.
And speaking of Jeff Downs, at number 10 we have an album track by one of Jeff's several successful groups, Asia. You will recall that we mentioned Jeff in a previous show when we explained that he and Trevor Horn were the only full-time Buggles remaining after Bruce Woolley left to form the Camera Club. Of course, by the time Jeff was a Buggle, he had already been a member of Yes. After some time with Yes, Jeff became part of Asia, a group that we heard several months ago with their amazingly catchy album rock track Nyctophobia from the Gravitas album. Now, from the album Silent Nation, here is another catchy Asia track, co-written by Jeff Downs, John Payne, and Billy Sherwood.
I remember long ago, a foolish one that hurt you so. Was I the one? to believe. We must cross the sea alone.
Recorded at Clear Lake Audio in Hollywood and featuring the keyboard work of Jeff Downs, that was Asia at number 10 with I Will Be There For You.
Number nine.
At number 9, we have a selection by the group that we never actually fully mentioned back at number 40 when we played I Know There's Something Going On by Frida. While Frida's solo project shocked the music world, the record we have at number 9 didn't. It was exactly the kind of catchy pop masterpiece that drove huge numbers of single sales, and with sales figures around the world so high that they could only be estimated at 380 million, the group to whom we are referring simply has to be ABBA.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first in line. Take a chance, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
single that spent a week at number 9 on the radio and records chart in the United States, on its way to number 1 in Belgium, Ireland, England, Mexico, Austria, and on the Cashbox survey in the United States. That was Benny Andersson, Bjorn Ulvaeus, Agneta Falskog, and Annefrid Lyngstad, collectively known by the name constructed from the first initials of their first names, ABBA.
Universe Top 40!
#8.
We just heard ABBA at number 9, and right before that heard Asia at number 10. Well, now we are up to an album track that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is an odd collaboration involving a member of ABBA and two rock legends that at one point made up half the band we heard just a moment ago, Asia. Back in 2002, John Wetton and Jeff Downes, both of Asia, decided to team up and make an album as a duo using the name Wetton Downes. As one might expect, the combination of John Wetton and Jeff Downes sounded almost exactly like Asia. However, one track from that album took on a decidedly different sound when the lead vocal was handled not by Wetton, but by Agneta Falskog of ABBA.
We stand apart.
As One, an album track that was modern and great and should have absolutely reached number 8 or higher. That was the amazing collaboration between the writing and production team from Asia, Wetton Downes, and the chilling vocal of Agneta Falskog, formerly of
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we we're up to Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. It is an instrumental that failed to make the top 40 by a legendary R&B dance band leader who may very well have released more EPs than any other artist. Every week on this show, we talk about records and we play them. Sometimes those records are old, full of pops and scratches, and worn out grooves that exhibit a noticeable loss of fidelity. And most of the time, we are talking about singles that are released on 7-inch vinyl to be played at 45 RPM, or albums, which have a 12-inch diameter and spin at 33 1/3 RPM. During the disco era, 12-inch singles became popular, and they remain popular today with EDM DJs. And then there is the hard-to-categorize 7-inch record which plays at 33 1/3 RPM, the EP, or extended play record. I don't have very many of these, but in the early days of indie rock, some punk labels put them out. In 1979 and 80, for example, these types of records were sent out to radio stations with four different songs by four different artists. I can specifically recall a promotional EP from CBS that contained tracks from The Beat, Jewels and the Polar Bears, The Heaters, and The Sinceros. Bruce Woolley and The Camera Club also released an EP on the Columbia label. Well, at number 7, we have this R&B band leader that did more than just release the occasional EP. Unbelievably, he released 33 7-inch EPs. That is simply amazing to me. By comparison, the Beatles released 13 in England, with one being a double EP, so we can call it 14, and they released 2 in the United States. But R&B band leader Bill Doggett was definitely a busy guy. In addition to his 33 EPs, he released 5 78s, 45 LPs, and 81 singles. Amazing. While I certainly cannot say that I've heard his entire catalog, based upon the music of his that I have heard, my favorite track of his is his single on King Records called Night Train. Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was rhythm and blues pianist and band leader Bill Doggett and Night Train, the song that movie fans heard being played by the fictional band being led by Marvin Berry in Back to the Future. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Patrick from England heard our 6070 kHz broadcast on his Wellbrook ALA-1530 with a 4-meter loop antenna. He reports poor shortwave conditions for a portion of the program, but listened through the static anyway. He included an MP3 with his report, which confirmed a great bit of interference. But thank you, Patrick, for listening and your complete report. We hope that something we did made you smile. Dawana from New York sent us a message on Mixcloud to let us know that she really liked the air check of our April 25 show. Well, Dawana, we are thrilled that you listened to us, and we are especially thrilled that you chose to experience the show in the atmosphere for which it is intended, long-distance shortwave transmission. We hope that you are doing well in the city, and we send you love, music, and smiles all around. Kurt from the Strange Beacons website posted these nice things about us. Quote, I finally caught this station tonight via Kiwi SDR located in California. Great show and great music. Thanks for posting the information. Good shortwave music shows are few and far between these days, and I'm very happy that more of these are starting to appear. Close quote. Well, Kurt, we certainly appreciate that you listened to us, and we are grateful for your kind words about the show. We hope that you will continue to enjoy our broadcasts and the transmissions of several other fine music-related programs on shortwave. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's act only released 5 studio albums, with 4 of them reaching number 1 in the UK, and the one that did not hit number 1 peaking at number 6. All 5 of those made the top 40 of the album charts in the US as well, with their 5th and final studio effort being their one and only American chart topper. But to those studio albums, we can add a greatest hits compilation, which also hit number 1 in England and hit number 7 in the US. Basically, this respected group, a trio that combined elements of rock, punk, reggae, and sometimes jazz, certainly qualifies for our bonus hit. And the song that should have reached number 6 on the singles charts probably would have if A&M had simply released it as a single. It received airplay on all sorts of FM stations back when the album that contained it, Zenyatta Mandata, came out. Rolling Stone critic David Frick picked out this song as an example of the Police, quote, indulging in their love for reggae, close quote.
How can you say that you're not responsible? What does it have to do with me? What is my reaction? What should it be? Confronted by this latest atrocity, driven to tears. Driven to tears.
with our bonus hit at number 6. That was the trio made up of Sting, Andy Summers, and Stuart Copeland, collectively known as The Police, and Driven to Tears, a song that Sting liked so well that he re-recorded it for his debut solo album in 1986. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we are back to John Brannon, an artist that I discussed back in episode 30. Brannon made one absolutely killer rockabilly album for Mercury Records back in the early 90s. And in this instance, the word killer is appropriate since Brannon's vocal style is very reminiscent of that piano-playing rock legend whose nickname really is the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis.
She said, climb. Let's take a drive. Man, she sure took me for one big ride. She left me stranded way outside town. Now I'm out on love's highway and I'm heartbroken down. She was smooth and streamlined. She was built for speed. She had all
perfect piece of rockabilly at number 5. That was John Brannon in Heartbroken Down, a recording that featured a couple of guys who've been on some of my records, drummer Wayne Killius, and, of course, on lead guitar, the ever-present Jack Holder.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a single that charted significantly better in England than it did in the United States. Today's selection, however, charted better in Canada than it did in either the US or the UK. Whether it was significantly better depends on which comparison we are discussing. This catchy release hit number 1 in Canada and peaked at number 3 on the Billboard charts in the United States. It did perform an odd bit of a combination in the U.S. when it hit number 1 on one American dance chart and number 2 on the mainstream rock tracks chart. That's a combination you don't see very often. In England, this version of the single did not chart at all. A cover of the same song by Bucks Fizz did, however, hit number 15 a few months later.
Yeah.
4 with Talking in Your Sleep, a single that is one of music's few examples of a combination rock track and dance hit, those were the Romantics.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. Today we are talking about downtown Wimbledon, a location that generally conjures up mental pictures of tennis. In this instance, though, we are talking about music. It was in Wimbledon that Jeff Downs, Trevor Horn, and Bruce Woolley first got together to write songs as a team and make demos. In the process, they also formed a group that was part new wave and part progressive rock, the Buggles. From way downtown and from an album that reached number 26 in Holland and number 57 on the rock album chart in the U.S. Those were the Buggles and their follow-up to Video Killed the Radio Star, Adventures in Modern Recording, a selection co-written by Trevor Horn, Bruce Woolley, and Simon Darlow.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that should have reached number 1. It is a classic single that reached number 1 in Cashbox, but stalled at number 2 in Billboard. In England, it peaked at number 3. The song itself is an odd combination of British invasion pop, written by a folk songwriter and sung by a talented vocalist whose voice could handle anything from simple folk to a bombastic show tune. And speaking of show tunes, this one was actually a movie theme.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear? Shed those dowdy feathers and fly a little bit. Hey there.
Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl. A reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shell.
A little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be.
Featuring the amazing voice of Judith Durham, those were The Seekers, the three-man, one-woman folk act from Melbourne, Australia, and their classic single that hit number one on one chart, but should have hit number one across the board, Georgie Girl. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a memorable and melodic mid-tempo rock song developed and originally recorded by a group called Cinema. However, by the time the project was recorded and re-recorded and remixed with different individuals making contributions all along, the members of Cinema discovered that they had accidentally reunited a legendary band that had split up a couple of years before. This indeed was one truly happy accident. Cinema was a progressive rock band put together by Chris Squire, the former bassist of Yes, and drummer Alan White, who had played with the Plastic Ono Band and, for a time, briefly with Yes, replacing Bill Bruford. Those two progressive musicians then approached Trevor Rabin, an extremely talented classically trained rocker who had passed up a chance to join two other ex-Yes members, Jeff Downes and Steve Howe, in Asia. Rabin's batch of original progressive songs were intended for his own solo deal with RCA. But when Squire and White recruited him as a vocalist and lead guitarist for Cinema, Rabin sacrificed his solo contract in order to join that group. To complement Rabin's guitar-oriented material, Squire and White looked to another Trevor, Trevor Horn, to produce. This was the Trevor who had briefly been an actual member of Yes, and who, as we discussed back at number three, partnered with Jeff Downes in The Buggles. While Trevor Horn created some of the keyboard patches and sounds, he opted to remain technically not a member of Cinema, and suggested that a fluid keyboardist become part of the sessions. At this juncture, one would simply expect that Jeff Downes would have been called. However, Squire and White looked to Tony Kaye, another keyboardist that Squire had previously played with in the first version of Yes. This is where things really get complicated. While White and Kaye had both formerly been in Yes, they had not been members at the same time. White had wanted to work with Tony Kaye, and Cinema provided that opportunity. But now, let's get back to the two Trevors. Trevor Rabin, the songwriting and singing lead guitarist, showed Cinema several of his catchy rock compositions. They were excited to work them out, one in particular. However, the other Trevor, Trevor Horn, the producer, loved Rabin's chorus, but was not satisfied with the sound of the lyrics in the verse. After numerous overdubs, Squire and Horn made lyrical contributions to the song, replacing the verses but leaving the chorus alone. After working tirelessly on the song, producer Trevor Horn decided that Trevor Rabin's music was perfect, but something was missing with the lead vocal. If Cinema was going to make a big splash with their debut single, the lead vocal needed to have a similar type of delivery that a vocalist such as, say, John Anderson could give it. Trevor Rabin actually agreed. He even suggested that maybe Anderson could sing the song. It was only after the sessions were complete that they actually realized that Cinema Now was a five-man band made up of four ex-members of Yes. So, in a move that made Atco Records very happy, the guys in Cinema decided to change their name to Yes, or back to Yes, and the first release by the new incarnation of Yes became their most successful single ever, hitting number one across the board. Perfection track at number one. That was Yes, and Owner of a Lonely Heart, the chart-topping song that accidentally reunited them. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.